Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. With population in the valley expected to balloon over the next 20 years, Salt Lake City is looking for ways to boost its housing stock without encouraging sprawl. The answer, says Mayor Ralph Becker, is doubling up, allowing more mother-in-law apartments and separate dwellings on a single property. But opponents say more density will turn the city's beautiful tree-lined neighborhoods into slums. Today on the program, we're talking about the Accessory Dwelling Unit Ordinance, the ADU Ordinance. Not a real sexy term, but we'll use it, ADUs this hour. Sydney Fonsbeck served on the Salt Lake City Council for 10 years during the 1980s. She's now a longtime member of the Greater Avenues Community Council and opposes ADUs. Sydney is with me in studio, and good morning.
Good morning.
Also with us, Councilman Soren Simonson. He's chair of the Salt Lake City Council. He is serving his second term. He's also a planner by trade and adjunct faculty at the University of Utah College of Architecture and Planning. Councilman Simonson, thanks for your time.
Good to be with you.
Later on in the program, an effort to document dying languages. But first, ADUs. Do you think residents should be allowed to rent their basements for extra income or to build an extra space for mom? Or do you think apartments in single-family homes would bring congestion and destroy a neighborhood's charm? Give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Before we get to the arguments for and against, I want to lay out the basics for listeners of just what this ordinance would do. Basically, it would allow accessory dwelling units, ADUs, in areas that are currently zoned as single-family neighborhoods and multifamily residential areas. The owner has to live in the home, and it would have to be built to scale with the primary home on the property. So those are kind of the basics. Councilman Simonson will walk through the specific arguments for and against during this segment, but briefly tell us what persuaded you that this is a good idea.
Well, I've lived in many neighborhoods in Salt Lake City, the Capitol Hill, Central City, and have lived in more or less the Sugar House area for the last 15 years. And every neighborhood that I've lived in has had accessory dwelling units. Many of them are illegal. My wife and I had one in Highland Park. It was the thing that allowed us to move into that neighborhood to be able to rent out the basement. Now, ours was a legal duplex at the time. And when we remodeled the house, we had to eliminate that unit to come into compliance with the zoning at the time. And I thought that was a great loss. Mm-hmm. There are many of these units throughout the city. I have found them to be places to bring wonderful residents into neighborhoods, people that want to be in a great neighborhood but maybe not able to afford a house. They may be starting out. Or people that have raised families and now have a lot of extra space in the house. And so I think that with reasonable standards and enforcement, that this is a great opportunity to allow homes to be well utilized in our city and meet growing needs.
Sydney, again, we're going to walk through the arguments as we go. But just generally, the Greater Avenues Community Council has sent a very strong message to the city. They voted nearly unanimously against the ADU ordinance. Why are your neighbors opposed to this idea?
I think because we've lived through it. I've gone to a lot of conferences where this is, you know, talked about, espoused as a wonderful idea. And the problem is that having lived through it, this is like going back to the past. In the 1970s, when we attempted our downzoning, the first thing we and other neighborhoods like us had to deal with were all of the accessory units. And it was actually used against us by the city. Well, we can't downzone this. Every house has been broken up into apartments. And so I think you'll note that the neighborhoods that are opposed to it are the neighborhoods that actually had to deal with it in the 70s in order to protect them. Anytime that you take a class in neighborhoods, the first sign of deterioration is packing. And that's exactly what this ordinance will result in. And while I trust the current administration to enforce, because I think enforcement is the key, enforcement or the city's promises last as long as the people who are there. And after that, the city seems to have no obligation. And having lived with this in the 70s, I have to tell you, I really resent the mother-in-law or grandmother image, because we didn't find a single extra unit in the 70s that held a grandmother or a mother-in-law.
So it was a rental unit.
Yes, it becomes a rental unit. And then the person living in the house who created the unit and who met that requirement of living in the house while the unit was created moves, sells the house as a unit with a rental. And it's oftentimes bought by speculators. It's bought by people who do this for a living, get up old houses and rent them out. I've never known of a single incident since our downzoning where they have actually closed down an extra unit. The ones that we have, people have complained. We've used the fire code because most of them don't meet the fire code. So I think that the intentions are good, but having lived with the reality, it just doesn't work.
Councilman Simonson, you're an architect. You work closely with planners. I would assume that you're all for creating standards and designating certain parts of a city for certain uses. How would this ADU ordinance, would it fundamentally change what a neighborhood is in your mind?
Well, I'm not convinced that it will change neighborhoods all that much. And Sydney raises a really good issue, which is houses being converted entirely into apartments. And that's not what this ordinance is intended to do, and I don't think it's what it will do. The fact that we have many of these accessory units all over the city now that are great contributing parts of the city gives me great confidence that they can coexist in neighborhoods. This is not an upzone. We're not changing the base zoning in single-family neighborhoods to multifamily dwellings. And I think the most significant part of this ordinance is that it will require all of these units to be registered in order for them to be legal. And that's a process we're also going through on a separate but comparable ordinance, which is a unit legalization ordinance, which recognizes all of the ones that now exist. So we have the accessory dwelling unit ordinance, which is to allow reasonable accommodation of new units, and we have a unit legalization ordinance that we're also considering, which is to legalize ones that have existed for decades. And it will require enforcement. I believe that the tools that are part of this ordinance will give us much greater ability to enforce than we've had in the past. And ultimately, it will allow us to address long-term needs for our city that I think are very unique in Salt Lake City, maybe not unique in metropolitan areas around the U.S., but certainly unique to Salt Lake City around the state. But we're not the only city that's also contemplating this. There are a number of cities that have recently or are going through processes to create ADUs as well.
So in a traditionally single-family neighborhood, which this ordinance would target, could every home in that neighborhood build an accessory dwelling? Could it convert a basement into an apartment? Every single house, or is it on a scale like, 50% of this neighborhood can have accessory dwellings, something like that?
The current proposal would limit the number of new units that can be created by year, and also allows for some standards that could eventually limit how many you have in a neighborhood. That's not formally a part of this. But I think in time it may be something that we need to look carefully at. And we're not done writing this ordinance. It's still very much in its development process, and input from the community is essential to helping us get it right. But the fact that we have so many units now that are working very well, and a reasonable process to allow new units to come in that meet standards and can give us the ability to do better enforcement, I think, is a process that's very reasonable.
Speaking with Salt Lake City Councilman Soren Simonson, he's chair of the City Council, and the City Council is considering the Accessory Dwelling Unit Ordinance, ADU Ordinance, this coming Tuesday, April 3rd. Also with us in studio, Sydney Fonsbeck, a former City Council member and a member of the Greater Avenues Community Council. And if you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. And let's go to the phones. Jamie is joining us from Sugar House. Jamie, hi.
Hi. I wanted to mention, I've lived in my house, in Sugar House, for 22 years, so I know this neighborhood very well, the pocket I live in, and we've never, ever had a problem when the owner lived in the house and the mother-in-law house or the basement was rented out. The only time we've ever had a problem in this part of Sugar House with renters is when an investor comes in, buys the whole house, and rents the whole house out. Then we've had some problems, but never when the owner lived there. So I think it's a really good idea. One, I would love to do that, to turn my basement into an apartment, to give my kids a kickstart. So they have privacy, they feel independent, but they're going to college or whatnot, and they pay, you know, much less rent to my husband and I to help with utilities or whatnot than they would renting outside the home. So I think it's a wonderful idea. And most of the people actually in my neighborhood that rent out, it is family members. It's either the elderly parents that live in the mother-in-law's house or basement, or the kids, you know. So I think it's a wonderful idea. I think it's wonderful to make it easier for us to build the basement apartments and be able to have them for family or to rent out to help with the mortgage for young people. And then we wouldn't have so many young people selling their houses or leaving their houses and have renters, the whole house with renters. Do you see what I'm saying?
Sure. Jamie, thanks very much for the thought.
You're
Sydney
welcome.
Fonsbeck, she echoed some of your concerns about the absent landlord just making an investment in a house that has a basement apartment, and then problems start to spring. But what about accommodating growing families, changing families?
Well, I think the problem is that the house is going to last longer than that particular family's needs. I have no doubt that when somebody comes in and makes an application to the city to put an apartment in their basement or to build a tough shed in the back for grandma or whatever, all of the conditions are going to be enforced. Everybody's going to look at the size of the lot and if the owner's in the property. And I think the city will do a very good job of enforcing that. But I would lay money if I thought I was going to be here in 15 years. In fact, maybe that's what makes it a good bet. I can absolutely guarantee you that within 15, 20 years, those situations are not going to exist. Grandma will have died. The kids have moved on. And what are you going to do with that apartment in the basement? You're going to rent it. And eventually, the primary dweller of the house is going to die or move to Florida or to St. George, in our case, usually around here. And then what? Is the city going to be able to force people out of the auxiliary apartment and say, yeah, you've got it, but now because, you know, somebody else has bought the house, an investor of some sort has bought the house, or the kids who now live in California want to hang on to it because now they've got a duplex that they can rent. You can't force people to shut down. And we've got many, many examples of the city that's allowed, in one case on 8th Avenue, a triplex, called it a single family home because it was connected by doors and a polygamous family was in there. So it was a single family, unusual, but a single family dwelling. When the house was foreclosed on and that family moved out, it was sold as a triplex in a single family neighborhood. And that's where it is today. As far as, you know, growing needs, Soren was involved in planning the Community Development Corporation multi-rise family, low-cost housing, and they found that by looking at the market, there are so many apartments of every kind, shape, and color out there that they've canceled their plans, and I guess they're talking about it going with a loss because there are so many units, and this consultant that came in that we were never allowed to respond to talked about all the need and never once mentioned the fact that there are literally hundreds of apartments available in this area that are not being rented and that are standing available.
Councilman, what do you say to that? There's already plenty of affordable housing stock in the city. We don't need to infill our existing neighborhoods with more.
Well, I might argue that we have a surplus of affordable housing in the city because many of our apartments are full. We do have probably a glut of condominiums, and many of those condominiums are being converted to apartments because the demand is very high. But a lot of this has to do with where people want to be. People that rent want to be in neighborhoods that they love, just like people that are able to buy a house. And I think a core issue, as Sydney has raised, is whether or not we want these units to be converted to apartments. And that's something that we are very concerned about, at least I am on the council, and I know other council members have expressed that as well. But I don't see that this is going to fundamentally change the character of neighborhoods from predominantly owner-occupied neighborhoods to rental neighborhoods. And the tools that are outlined in the accessory dwelling unit ordinance are very specific about what allows those units to become, the accessory units to become rentals. And fundamental to that is that the owner has to live in the house. And if the owner doesn't live there, then it's not a viable accessory unit. And because the units would now need to be registered, which is a requirement, we have a much better way of tracking and seeing how being able to enforce this because we have better information than we've ever had in the past.
Speaking with Salt Lake City Councilman Soren Simonson, chair of the City Council, also former City Council member Sydney Fonsbeck with the Greater Avenues Community Council. And we're talking about affordable housing, about density, about even how we think about what neighborhoods are. Salt Lake City Council is considering the ADU ordinance this coming Tuesday, April 3rd. We'll have links on our website for more information at kcpw.org. If you'd like to join our conversation about ADUs, 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. We need to take a break. We'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier Pierce. Today on the program, we're talking about housing and ways to boost the housing stock within Salt Lake City by allowing mother-in-law apartments. Many residents are balking at the idea now being considered by the Salt Lake City Council, saying the zoning change would bring traffic, congestion, and even crime to the capital's single-family neighborhoods. The Salt Lake City Council is considering the ADU ordinance during its meeting next Tuesday. You can find more information on our website, kcpw.org. Joining us for this conversation, Sydney Fonsbeck. She served on the Salt Lake City Council for 10 years. She's now a member and active spokesperson for the Greater Avenues Community Council. Also with us, Salt Lake City Council Chair Soren Simonson. This email from Judith, who writes, "What about the children that want to keep their parents in their home rather than putting them into a nursing home? As the last caller mentioned, giving children an expensive start is a good idea." On the other side, an anonymous email who says basically this is a bad idea, very lengthy email. This person writes that where do you put all the cars, the garbage cans, if you have multiple families sending multiple families of children to school. They're only paying one property tax. That's a burden on everyone else. The writer also continues, when a community is developed, density is a major consideration. Let's walk through some of those issues from this anonymous emailer. Soren Simonson, first, congestion. Having more people means more cars, more traffic, more parking issues in neighborhoods like the Avenues. This is already an issue.
Well, let me just start talking about the density by saying that I don't personally believe that we're adding considerable density to neighborhoods. Many of the homes that we're talking about that have the capability of creating an accessory unit are homes that have either had many people living in them, say a large family that raised 4, 5, 6 children in the household that's now occupied by a couple with no children. Those kids had cars. At times, those houses may have been occupied by six different people that may have been driving. It's difficult to know exactly how that density issue is going to affect patterns, but I don't really expect that we're going to see a run on people going out and adding accessory units. I think we may see sporadic accessory units added. But looking at cities that have done this, the city of Boise, Idaho, went through this process a decade ago, and the same concerns were raised about traffic and congestion and children and schools and taxes and all of those things. None of those issues have come to pass, and city council members that we've communicated with recently have said it's working very well. We've had a moderate number of applications for new units. There's not an overwhelming surge and an increase in density that's overwhelmed the system in the city. And it's brought a lot of wonderful new residents. Primarily those that are moving in are people that are single or a young couple or an aging couple that don't have children, that don't have a lot of the things that might generate traffic and the other things that have raised concerns.
So the numbers of people that a structure was built for, they can, the structures should be able to accommodate
that. The structures and the streets and the neighborhoods are more than capable of handling the moderate density increase that we're talking about with this ordinance.
Back to accessory dwelling units, if you'd like to join us.
May I just say one thing?
In a moment. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Let's go to our caller, John, in Salt Lake City. John, hi.
Hi. I'm just wondering about how it's going to affect residential neighborhood zoning when you turn something like that. It seems like it's being turned into more of a commercial use. And what's the impact on the owners for state and federal income tax reporting on the revenue that they're getting from their...
Okay. So John, you're concerned that this might be a slippery slope, that a home not only would be have an apartment in it, but it may convert into a business, like a home-based business? Is that what you're worried about?
No, it'd be more like a multifamily. It'd be a commercial property rather than a residential property.
Okay, a full commercial property. Thanks for the call, John. Councilman Simonson.
Yeah, just to be clear, I think there's some misunderstanding about what this ordinance does. This has not changed the zoning of our neighborhoods. This is being considered predominantly in single-family neighborhoods. They will remain single-family neighborhoods. But what it does is it allows the owner of a home to have a space that they're not using or to add a space to their home that they could rent out to somebody in addition to living in the residence themselves. This does require that an owner be on premises. And this is the thing for me that gives a lot of confidence that we're not going to see our neighborhoods overrun by rentals, because it requires that the owner live on the premises. And when you have an owner living on the property, they're maintaining it. They're watching out for crime. They're watching out for vandalism. It's not a commercial permissive zone. It's simply to allow the modest use of a home that has the capacity, or a lot that has the capacity, to have another occupant renting along with the owner.
Sydney Fonsbeck, the Greater Avenues Community Council would fundamentally disagree with that characterization. Your group believes that this would completely change the master planning process that the city has built up, that how neighborhoods have been defined.
Well, first, let me say about having mom come and live with you. Speaking as a grandmother and a mother-in-law, I can't imagine anything worse than to be stuck in my kid's basement. But the problem, and mother can come and live with you now. There's nothing that says you can't move mom in. This is saying is that you cannot build a separate unit for her. And mom, however long she's around, is not going to be around forever. And somebody then is going to have the wonderful idea that this, now mom's gone, maybe hopefully to Florida or St. George, but we can rent it. And as I've said several times now, I have no problems with what this is going to do in the neighborhood in the next 2 or 3 years. I have none whatsoever. My concern is that we are opening a bottle of problems that somebody 10 years from now is going to have to go back and do exactly what we had to do in the late 70s, that every neighborhood, and to say it doesn't change the zoning, to change from a single family residential neighborhood to a duplex is naive. Of course it's a change in the zoning. Right now the zoning is pretty clear about what you can and can't do with your property. And our need in this city, as far as I can see right now, the thing that we seem to have a shortage of are single family homes. Until we get the Northwest Quadrant developed, we have a lack of single-family homes. We don't have a lack of apartment houses or apartment rooms. And again, I think it's done in good speed. I've heard it from planners. You have to be aware, too, that a unit over the garage might be very nice. But almost everybody that's going to move in is going to have a car. And their consultant suggested, well, if you live within 25 or a quarter of a mile within something you don't drive, well, then why are all the LDS ward parking lots completely full? Why is Smith's parking lot completely full? Just about everybody in the avenues lives within a fairly short distance of their church house and their grocery store, and yet parking is there. You could push to the extreme, which was almost what we had in the 70s. Push to the extreme, you could double your neighborhood, double your cars, and parking. Most people don't have an extra parking lot sitting there. And so the alternative is going to be to blacktop the neighborhood, the backyard, and stick the apartment in there.
I want to get our callers back into the conversation.
Unsellable in the future.
801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Heather's with us in Salt Lake City. Heather, hi.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. Go right ahead.
Yes, I have a mother-in-law in my house, and my mother has dementia. And so my parents moved into my home, and it has been excellent. It really helps. I help my father take care of my mother, and I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have a mother-in-law. And I feel very strongly that as long as the owner lives in the home, then they will be very careful as to whom they will have living in their home with them.
Heather, thanks very much for that call. Councilman Simonson, one issue that we haven't even addressed is that Mayor Ralph Becker is saying that this is a green solution to our housing crunch, that this is part of his sustainability effort. Why is this a green solution?
Well, I think it's a piece in the puzzle of how we add density without adding sprawl, how we best utilize infrastructure that we already have, whether it's public transportation, existing streets and utilities, allowing our neighborhoods with existing homes to be more fully utilized. I think these are all part of that. Let me just add, too, the caller mentioned her mother-in-law. My grandparents, who passed away a few years ago, ended up living some of the last few years in their life in a mother-in-law apartment in the Federal Heights neighborhood. I had a family member there who had created a basement apartment for their six children as they went through college one by one at the University of Utah and had a little space of their own. Eventually, they brought in exchange students from other countries, had a wonderful time meeting wonderful people who immigrated to the U.S. to go to school here. And eventually, my grandparents, for 3 or 4 years before they ended up needing to go into an assisted living center, lived in this apartment. It had a walkout basement, as many of these mother-in-law apartments do. So it wasn't the dank, dark kind of basement that we may think of some basements that we've lived in or been in before. We are very interested in seeing that these types of dwellings are habitable, that are quality environments, and by the requirements to register the units, to go through reasonable inspections, and to be able to modify existing homes to accommodate this, we're creating better living environments that exist when these are all happening under the radar.
I want to bring in one last call. Our time is short. This is David from Salt Lake City. David, hi.
Hi, I just had a couple of questions. I'd like to know, are they going to require the people renting out these units to cover insurance costs, where they actually have liability insurance for anything that could happen? And does this law supersede HOA requirements? So if there's a CC&R that forbids this, will this ordinance supersede that?
Okay. I don't know the answers to those questions. Councilman, do you?
Yeah, this is not intended to supersede HOA requirements, and it's not intended to supersede existing zoning requirements or design standards. Some of our historic neighborhoods already have development standards. This will work within the existing framework of existing regulations, whether they're private regulations or public regulations, but it's simply a tool to accommodate and acknowledge that there's A, demand, B, these already exist throughout the city, and C, we want to create quality living environments for people that want to be in our great neighborhoods in Salt Lake City.
As we go into our final few minutes, Sydney, clearly some very strong emotions out there about the nature of what neighborhoods are. Is there compromise on an ordinance like this, or do you think this is just opening a floodgate?
Well, I think it would be really nice if the city would give this some breathing time until we actually do need these kinds of apartments. Again, mom and dad can come and live with you right now, and nobody keeps you from doing that. I think to give it some breathing time, wait until so many of the dozens, if not hundreds, of apartments in other areas of the city are occupied. But look at the example that we've got right now. Right now, there exists, by the city's own count, a lot of illegal units in the neighborhoods. And I'm sure the Avenues has more than their share. Instead of going in and cracking down on those people and enforcing them to get rid of the units, they're going to change the law to allow for them. They're going to legalize them. And this is exactly what's going to happen 10 years from now, when the owner is no longer occupying the house. And everybody thinks about what I can do with my house, but very few people talk about the impact it's going to have on my neighbor, or how I'm going to like living next door to it, with double the cars, double the people, the apartment rented to, I hate to malign university students, but sometimes they're not the very best neighbors. A house that's built for one person or two person is now occupied by a family of six. Nobody really sits down and says, do I want this next door to me and throughout my neighborhood? Now, there's too many problems, too many things that haven't been answered. I'd love to see the city enforce for a few years so that we have confidence that they can enforce, are willing to enforce, rather than just changing the law to meet those who can't meet the current standards and are illegal to begin with.
Councilman Simonson, council is positioned to take public comment on this on Tuesday, right?
Yeah, we have two related ordinances. As I mentioned earlier, our unit legalization, which addresses the many, many accessory units already existing throughout the city, and the accessory dwelling unit ordinance, which would be an ordinance that would allow for the creation of a modest number of new units in the city. And both of those will be up for discussion. We'll have a briefing in the afternoon on Tuesday the 3rd, and then we'll have an opportunity for public comment in the evening. Of course, people can always write to us by email or phone in their comments, 801-535-7600, which is the council office line.
And we'll have links to all of that on our website, kcpw.org. Soren Simonson, council chair of the Salt Lake City Council, thanks very much for your time today.
Good to be with you, and you too, Sydney.
And Sydney Fonsbeck, a former Salt Lake City Council member, and she is with the Greater Avenues Community Council. Sydney, great to see you.
Thank you.
Up next, how to save a dying language. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City.